Welcome to Akatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome. So today we are diving deep into what you might call the final word from, you know, the absolute titan of espionage fiction, John le Carré. We're talking about Silverview, his posthumously published novel from 2021.
That's right. And if you know le Carré, you know this isn't about slick gadgets or flashy action scenes.
No, not at all. He was often called the genre's poet laureate, wasn't he? A profound philosopher digging into those really complex moral gray areas.
Exactly. And Silverview, well, it feels less like just another spy story and more like an elegiac farewell.
Elegiac, I like that word for it.
Yeah, it's this haunting look late in his career at betrayal, loyalty, and the sort of deep corrosion that happens in that secret world he wrote so much about.
That phrase, the secret world, feels absolutely central here. What makes this one feel particularly final, maybe? More so than some other later works?
I think it starts with the setting, honestly. There's this immediate sense of wanting to escape the usual spy locales, London, Moscow, Berlin. Instead, le Carré puts us in this quiet, almost desolate seaside town in East Anglia.
Right. Far from the corridors of power.
Precisely. And that physical distance sort of sets this tone, a kind of melancholy right from the start.
And who's our way into this world? Julian Lawnsley. He seems like the quintessential outsider.
Oh, completely. Julian is, well, he's an idealist. Maybe early 30s. He's basically fled a high-paying but, you know, soul-crushing job in London finance. He's searching for something real, something authentic.
And finds it, or hopes to find it, in books.
Yes, he opens this small, independent bookshop. It's his dream of a sanctuary, a place for community, for open dialogue through literature. It's a very deliberate attempt to create a space built on truth, deliberately away from, like, the state's machinery.
Trying to build his own little republic of letters, you could say?
Yeah.
But this being le Carré, those walls are never very thick, are they?
Never. His quiet little world gets disrupted almost immediately by Edward Avon.
Ugh. Edward, tell us about him.
He's this incredibly charismatic figure, very cultured, speaks multiple languages, Polish emigre background, lives nearby in this house called Silverview, and he's just enigmatic, draws Julian in.
How does he do that? What's the hook?
It's fascinating, actually. It's purely intellectual, almost. Avon takes this really flattering interest in Julian, in his ideas for the shop. He even proposes they collaborate, create a special section in the shop, call it the Republic of Letters.
Wow. So he taps right into Julian's idealism.
Perfectly. He sees Julian's hunger for meaning, for purpose, and just exploits it. Brilliantly, you have to say.
Julian is our way in, then. The innocent civilian, the reader's eyes and ears.
He is, and his journey is one of, well, painful disillusionment. He genuinely admires Avon at first, thinks he's found a mentor.
Which makes the eventual reveal, the manipulation, so much harder.
Exactly. He thinks he's part of this noble cultural project, completely unaware he's being pulled into something much, much darker.
And that's classic le Carré, isn't it? That theme of innocence lost. Julian isn't brought down by a lack of morals, but almost by having too much faith in ideals.
He seeks truth. And by doing so, he stumbles across the ugly gears of the state grinding away just beneath the surface of everyday life. It's terrifying.
So while Julian's setting up his bookshop on the coast, the other shoe is about to drop in London.
Yes, the novel cuts back and forth. We shift to this parallel story inside what le Carré just calls the service.
Which is his usual shorthand for MI6, right? The British Secret Intelligence Service.
That's the one. So we move from Julian's world of books and ideas into the bureaucracy, the investigations, the secrets.
And who's driving that side of the story?
Stuart Proctor. He's almost the complete opposite of Julian. Proctor is the ultimate insider, the institutional man.
Okay. What's his role?
Head of domestic security. A senior figure. He's depicted as very calm, very methodical, a fixer. And his job right now is to track down the source of a major security leak, something serious, damaging, coming from inside the service's own history.
And the nature of the leak is key here. It's not about current operations, is it?
No, and that's what makes it so powerful, I think. It's historical. It digs up something buried from decades ago, specifically from the Bosnian War.
A very dark period.
Incredibly dark. And this operation wasn't some heroic success. It was a moral disaster. The service, or elements within it, apparently made deals with war criminals. For some supposed strategic gain, the greater good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The consequences were horrific, apparently, and the service has spent years making sure it all stayed buried. This leak threatens to expose that foundational rot.
The past refusing to stay buried. And Proctor's investigation inevitably starts pointing towards Silverview, the house.
And specifically towards Deborah Avon.
Edward's wife.
Edward's wife. She's terminally ill. We don't see much of her directly. She's mostly offstage, weakened by her illness. But she's absolutely the moral heart of the novel.
Tell me more about her. She wasn't just Edward's wife, was she?
No, far from it. She was a legend in the service herself. High-ranking, deeply involved back in the day, including in that Bosnian operation.
So she knows exactly what was buried.
She knows everything. And her illness. You can almost read it symbolically, like a physical manifestation of the moral sickness she witnessed, maybe even participated in.
That's a powerful way to put it. So her leaking the information, is it about revenge ideology?
It feels more like a reckoning, a desperate need for some kind of redemption, maybe, to force the truth out before she dies.
And the house name, Silverview. It suggests clarity, maybe. A final clear perspective away from the London fog of secrets.
I think that's definitely part of it. A place of final, maybe painful, clarity.
Which brings us back to Edward. If Deborah is the conscience, what drives him? Is he just her instrument?
He's the executor, yes, but it's not cold calculation. His motive isn't the usual spy stuff. Not money, not politics, not really ideology either.
What then?
It seems to boil down to love. A deep, all-consuming love for Deborah. He made her a promise.
To reveal the truth.
To honor her final wish. To bring that dark secret into the light. So his treason against the service is framed as, well, as the ultimate act of faithfulness to his wife.
That completely reframes the idea of betrayal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It forces you, the listener, to think which loyalty matters more. To the state or to personal truth and love.
Exactly. Proctor represents loyalty to the institution, unquestioning. Edward represents loyalty to an individual's moral conviction. And those two loyalties are on a collision course.
So how did these threads finally connect? Proctor's investigation zeroes in.
It does. Proctor, being the methodical investigator he is, traces the leak pathway, and he discovers the connection.
Which is Julian's bookshop.
Precisely. That little sanctuary of open knowledge. It's been used as the conduit, the unwitting drop-off point for passing the classified material.
Oh, Julian. He has no idea.
Absolutely none. He instantly becomes a person of interest, caught in the web, while he's still just thinking he's helping this charming old man with a literary project. The net is tightening and he doesn't even feel it.
That's where Le Carré is masterful, making the bureaucratic process itself feel menacing. You don't see the danger until it's right there.
Right. And the climax isn't some big shootout. It's very Le Carré.
Mm-hmm.
Understated, quiet, but absolutely devastating emotionally.
How does it unfold for Julian?
Proctor's people. They don't break down the door. They approach Julian calmly. They sit down with him.
And interrogate him.
They call it an interview, probably. But yes, it's done through conversation. Calm, rational, almost forensic. They just lay out the facts. They tell him the truth about Edward, about the manipulation, about the service's interest.
The truth becomes the weapon.
Absolutely. It shatters his world. His idealism, his little republic of letters, his admiration for Avon, all of it. Just collapses. The realization that his sanctuary was compromised, his innocence used, it's psychologically brutal. He's left marked by it.
And while this is happening to Julian, what's the resolution back at the house at Silverview?
It's tragic and just as quiet. By the time the service physically arrives at Silverview, it's too late to manage the Avons directly. Deborah has passed away from her illness.
And Edward.
Edward, having done what he promised Deborah, isn't going to let himself be captured. He takes his own life.
So the service doesn't get their man.
Not alive. But Edward leaves something behind, doesn't he? It's not just an absence.
Right. He leaves a full confession. A meticulously organized account of everything. All the secrets the service tried to keep hidden about the Bosnian operation and perhaps more. His final testimony.
A final act of defiance. Yet. The system prevails in a way.
How so? Proctor manages the fallout.
Perfectly, like the ultimate institutional caretaker. He contains it. Edward's confession, that detailed account, it never gets out. The story is managed, the service's reputation is protected, the bureaucratic machine grinds on. The system survives, despite the moral questions.
And Julian's left. Where?
Alone, completely isolated with this terrible knowledge. His innocence is gone, his trust shattered. He knows this huge, morally significant story that he can never tell anyone.
Just that lingering melancholy, no need answers. Very Le Carré.
Very much so. It's quite bleak, really.
So stepping back from the plot, what are the big themes Le Carré is leaving us with in this final work?
I think that central question is about betrayal and loyalty. It's deeply ambiguous. Are the Avons traitors? Or did they actually perform a higher kind of loyalty to truth, to conscience, maybe to each other?
And you contrast that directly with Proctor.
Right. Proctor's loyalty is also absolute, but it's to the institution. Its survival comes first, above moral qualms, above individual truths. He embodies that idea. Truth is a luxury we cannot always afford. That's a chilling philosophy.
It really is. And the novel feels like a final critique of that establishment, doesn't it? The service isn't portrayed as dynamic or heroic here.
Not at all. It seems old, tired. A bureaucracy focused on managing its image, on burying its past mistakes, rather than on any clear moral purpose. It's quite a damning portrait.
Le Carré also uses that structure, the two parallel narratives, very effectively. Julian's view versus Proctor's view.
Oh, definitely. Julian has such a limited perspective, the naive outsider looking in. Proctor has the, well, maybe not omniscient, but the insider's, the institutional view. That gap creates incredible dramatic irony. We, the readers, know Julian is in danger long before he does.
And the symbolism is quite potent, too. The bookshop?
Julian's Republic of Letters. It stands for openness, truth, shared knowledge.
And it's literally operating side by side with the secret world, the lies and manipulations coming out of Silverview.
Exactly. It highlights how that secret state isn't some far-off thing. It's right here, under the surface of ordinary life, capable of poisoning even these supposed sanctuaries of truth.
So, as a final reflection, what's the lasting impression Silverview leaves?
For me, it's this deep sense of the quiet tragedies. The real costs aren't always the explosions or the public scandals. They're the internal struggles, the compromises of conscience, the fight against these huge impersonal systems that just want to protect themselves.
It really forces you to confront that maybe, in Le Carré's world at least, sometimes the only way to be truly loyal to what matters might mean being seen as a traitor by the very institutions you once served. A difficult, unsettling thought. This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Acoutra Foundation.